We're going to have our Bible reading now. We're going to read the next bit of 1 Corinthians. It's on page 1144. I imagine everyone's still there. And we're going to read from verse 10. We started this new series in this book last week. Paul's writing a loving warning to this dearly loved church because they seem to be in a bit of a mess over lots of different things. Let's read from verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius. So no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. Amen. This is God's word to us this morning. Titus, can you just turn me down a wee bit? Just getting a little echo, that would be really good. Let me pray. Our Father in heaven, as your people, we don't want to live by fear, but by faith in the Lord Jesus. As we come now to your word, we ask that you would help us to be a faithful, unified local church. In Jesus' name, amen. Picture the scene. You're at a concert hall. You're there to see an orchestra. Very fancy, okay? Very fancy. You've got your little tub of ice cream, okay? You look up, the stage is all lit up. The musicians are there with their, you know, tuxedos and bow ties. The women are there in their beautiful ball gowns. The conductor hasn't come out yet, but suddenly everyone starts to fiddle. The musicians start to fiddle with their instruments. And all of a sudden, one of the instruments, it's an oboe, I'm told, plays a long, piercing note. I'm told it's the note A. The brass take up the note, and then the woodwind instruments take up the note, and then the violins and the other stringed instruments take up their note. Now, it sounds a little bit like this, if I can make it happen. Listen out for that long, piercing note, and then the other instruments. You get the idea? Okay, what are they doing? Yeah, musicians, yeah. They're tuning up. So that long piercing note, and then everyone else joins in, they're trying to get in tune together so that when they can all play together as an orchestra. Now imagine the stringed instruments, the violins, they said to that oboe player, shut up. You know, we don't care what note you play. We're just going to do our own thing. And the brass said, well, everyone else can do what they want because we can make some amount of noise. So we're just going to do whatever we want. Everyone else can beat it. Now, instead of beautiful music being played in tune, there's chaos. There's disharmony. There's different sections of the orchestra fighting over each other. You know, suddenly the bow ties come off and there's music stands flying everywhere. And you know, there's all sorts of madness going on. I know you're maybe not very musical like me, as you can tell, okay? But here's the point. The same principle for an orchestra about getting together to play in tune is the same principle that is true of the life and unity of a local church. True and deep love and unity, being able to live together, being on mission for the Lord Jesus Christ, is only going to happen as we are in tune together. What's the note for a local church? What's the oboe playing that long, clear note that we'd all tune into? Well, it's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel oboe, as it were. The instrument that rings out clear so that we would be in harmony together. We get in tune with the gospel note as we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose again. We stay in tune as we keep together with that message and all that it means for a local church. The moment we tune to a different note, the moment we think other things are more important, we get out of tune. It seems something like that had happened in Corinth. I hope your Bible's still open. People were told were quarreling and falling out in verse 11. They were not playing in tune. They were divided. And Paul urges them to be unified. Now we must never think that what's going on there could never happen here. As far as I can tell, even those of us who are Christians fall out from time to time. We are works in progress. We're still struggling with sin. Little groups can form in churches. I've seen it, that fall out with others. We constantly need to check that as individuals and as a local church together, we're in tune with that gospel note. That our lives don't give off the noise that say, I'm just going to play my own tune. There's two simple points that I want to make this morning as we see the heartbreak of what was happening in Corinth. The first is this. A local church is committed to live in harmony with one another. Look at verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel that like churches in the New Testament must have been so different from us. You know, the people must have been so different. It's not true. Someone had reported back to Paul that the church there had people in it who were quarreling, who were falling out. There was an us and them. They were no longer doing the same things, thinking the same things, speaking the same things. I think that had a massive effect on their witness as a local church for the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine a report back about that local church. What do you know about the church in Corinth? Oh, they all fall out. Is that a church that looks attractive? No. They're always quarreling with one another. They're in little groups. That's not attractive. It doesn't speak well of the Lord Jesus and his message. So often that's how our world operates. But that's not how a church is to operate. Listen to what Paul says in verse 12. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. We're told about three godly men and the Lord Jesus. Paul, Apollos, and the Apostle Peter, or Cephas, the name is used here. These three men had proclaimed the message of the Lord Jesus, that he died for sins, he was now alive. A number of people in Corinth had received that gospel message, believed it, taken their stand on it, become unified under it. But here it seems they'd fallen out. Now, we're not told exactly how they fell out, but maybe people in the local church were saying things like, well, I became a Christian through Paul's preaching. I'm in the Paul group. When he preaches, man, that's really where it's at. I love it when he preaches. I don't think I learn when someone else preaches. Not as like I do when Paul preaches. Others might have been saying, well, that guy Apollos, man, whoo, he's got a way with words. That Paul with all his doctrine and all that, oh man, like when Apollos preaches, I really understand what's going on. And you can imagine the super spiritual people saying, well, you can have your Paul and your Apollos. I follow Jesus. It seems it's not just preference. It seems it's not just I like that guy better than that guy. It's almost as if their loyalty, their reliance comes from being part of a certain group rather than a relationship with the Lord Jesus. And it's not like Paul is saying this group's better than that group. He says the whole thing is a mess. It is wrong. And it's bringing the name of the Lord Jesus into disrepute. Very easy in a local church to start tuning to different notes. I only learn when Doogie preaches. I suspect that's not true. In fact, I know it's not true. I can't learn anything if one of those Oak Killers is preaching, or Nigel's leading and standing at the front, or Veman's doing something. That's not true. Maybe we would never fall out over people. Maybe we can fall out over an issue this local church believes. Well, my old pastor and my old church thought about this, about that. Maybe it can be as simple as, I'm young. I don't have anything in common with these old people. When I was growing up in Glasgow, I can't remember anyone being from coming from to our church who was from a black or any other ethnic minority in our church. Now, that reflected the area at the time. It's different now. But here in North London, I'd be very angry if there were groups in our church or someone walked into our church and thought, I can't come here because of my background or ethnicity or race or age or whatever it is. And we need to work really, really hard to show that the gospel truly breaks down all these barriers and unites us together. Can I ask you a question? When did you last have someone in your home that didn't look and sound like you from this local church? A local church can divide into groups over all sorts of things. And even the seeds of this are sin, it's wrong. Did you ever watch Sesame Street as a kid? Remember Sesame Street? Okay. The big yellow bird, they were really original. What was he called? Big Birds. Yeah, of course. And at the end of Sesame Street, in their attempt to be educational, they would say something like, Sesame Street was brought to you today by the letter P and the number 4. Remember that? Yeah. Well, in the church of Corinth, too much of the church there was being brought by the letter I. I follow Paul. I follow Apollos. I'm in this group. I'm in that group. Quarrels and fallouts and cliques can happen in a church. When a church comes with too much I must have this. I need this. I've got to do this. I. Instead, and this might make you chuckle, certainly if I was a teenager it would, we need much more we in church. We've got to be a church of great we's. There's got to be lots more weighing in this church. Okay? Now, if you can get your head out of the toilet for a moment, we've got to think far more that we're a family, together, united, rather than just I. In verse 10, Paul appeals in the name of the Lord Jesus that you all agree with one another in what you say, there be no divisions, that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. One of the reasons the Lord Jesus died for people in a local church, it's not just that you personally would be saved for your sins, it's that we would be brought together as his people. If you love Jesus, you love his people. If you're united to the Lord Jesus, you are united to all the other Christians here. The devil loves for us to be divided. He wants for us to be divided. He's actively at work to divide us. But Jesus wants us to be united. At a really practical level, decisions that we make individually can have an impact across the wider family. I know I'm preaching to the choir because you guys are here this morning, but it could be a Sunday morning, you're tired. What do? You throw your alarm clock at the wall and you go back to bed. But staying in bed just doesn't have an effect on you. Because there might have been someone at church that day who really wanted to speak to you or really wanted to pray with you. I was at a meeting of other pastors up in London this week. And one pastor said, there's lots of chaos that goes on during the week in our lives. But at church, you might be the person, one of the anchor points for someone else in your church, for all the chaos that's been going on in their life. And that might really help them to follow the Lord Jesus. We're connected. We're not to be divided. The Lord Jesus, in his kindness, has given us one another, each other, we. And we're going to need lots of love and patience and forgiveness as we live together and we figure those things out. But that's okay. Because guess what? The Lord Jesus is full of love and patience and forgiveness. And he helps us to do those things. I think a local church is a church that's quick to say sorry to one another when we've offended each other. I think we're quick to forgive. It's not just that people are friendly, but that there are deep and lasting friendships being made and built across the generations and backgrounds. I think when there's a problem in a local church, a unified church doesn't just stick its head in the sand and hope it goes away and covers it up, but no, exposes it and deals with it together. See, when we live in harmony, it's going to have an effect on those looking in, not just on us. Because so much of our world is divided and disunited and full of squabbles and this group and that group. Imagine the impact of someone looking in and saying, well, and I've heard this. Imagine the impact of someone looking in and saying, you guys seem like a family. Yeah, we are. We need great help to be committed to live in harmony with one another. How are we going to do this? Here's my second point. A local church lives in harmony as we unite around the Lord Jesus and his message. As Paul starts to help them out, sort out this mess, he tells them to get in tune with the gospel note. Listen to what he says. Verse 13, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. Paul's focusing their eyes once more on the Lord Jesus and his message. He says, when you came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, did you just get a wee bit of him? Or did your wee group just get a bit of him? Or when you came to faith, did you get all of his grace and mercy and love? Of course you did, because you can't chop the Lord Jesus up into wee bits. Who was crucified for them? Was it Paul? No. Who bled and died to bring them together? It was Jesus. It wasn't Paul or Apollos or anyone else. It was Jesus. When someone gets baptized, is it in the name of Dougie and Nigel and Veman? No. It's in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the triune God. It's not Paul's name. And Paul is so thankful that he hardly baptized anyone. It gets a bit funny, doesn't it? Oh, I think I baptized these people or that. But what he's saying is this. I'm not in this to gather a group of little followers around me. If I baptized anyone, it's not so that they can say, ah, Paul baptized me. I must be a real Christian. He says, I'm so glad I hardly baptized anyone. Why? Because it's all about Jesus. That's why he ends by saying in verse 17, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. Paul's not going to get involved in their little groups, their little factions, their little divisions. He knows all the power and majesty and glory. If there's anything that is good about a local church at all, it's only because of the Lord Jesus. And if we're united, it's going to be in and through him. Why do we need to stick to his message? Why does Paul say, I came to be a preacher of the gospel? Well, lots of reasons. But I think as we stick to that note, that tuning note, one thing it definitely does is humble us. See, if the Lord Jesus forgives me after all I've done, then it helps me to forgive others who may have wronged me. If the Lord Jesus loves that person over there in that group, then he says, I've got to love them too. And they've got to love me. Did the Lord Jesus die for people who are not the same color or not from the same background or haven't been blessed with as nice an accent as me? Well, yes, he did. He did. And so they're my family. How does the Lord Jesus treat me every day? With kindness I don't deserve. And he says, that's how I have to treat others. What's going to happen with that Christian you may have fallen out with, you don't like? What's going to happen when the Lord Jesus returns? Let me break it to you. You're going to spend eternity with them. Forever. Let's get it sorted out now. As we're united to the gospel, as we stick to that tuning note, if our eyes and ears are full of the Lord Jesus, then we are much more likely to love one another and be united and be saying the same things rather than have a report that says, they just fall out, they don't even care. If you consider yourself a believer in the Lord Jesus, are you in tune with others that are here? There's an old joke, depending on your background as a Christian, what church you went to, but there's a Christian marooned on a desert island. He's been there for years on his own. And after decades, a passing ship happens to stop and pick him up. One of his rescuers says, what are those three buildings over there? And the man says, one's my house. He says, well, what about that one? Well, that's the church that I built. What about that third building? Oh, that's my old church. I fell out with everyone there. I pray that that would not be true of us. That we would be united. And if you're not yet a believer in the Lord Jesus, I want to ask you a question. Maybe you think, why would I want to become a Christian and be part of a kind of ragtag bunch that with these dangers all over the place? No one's saying we're perfect. Far from it. We are works in progress as Jesus works in our lives. But take note of this. There will be a day where we live in perfect unity, where there'll be no more fallouts, where no one will be out of sync. In fact, one image the Bible uses is that one day we'll be like a choir singing together perfectly when the Lord Jesus returns. Will you be part of the choir? Will you have that unity with us? See, the only other option, the Bible says, is to face God's punishment on our sins in hell. A place not of unity, but of division. And the only way to avoid it is to listen to the gospel note that rings out now. Of a Savior crucified in your place to take your sins, but now risen. Who calls you today to follow him and come and take your place with us. With the help of the Lord Jesus, living in unity together. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we ask for great help here in this local church, that there would be no quarrels or divisions among us, that we would be committed to living in harmony with one another. I pray this morning, if someone has got a beef, they're angry with someone else, that we would sort it out. Please, would there be no factions? Would we be quick to say sorry? Would we be quick to forgive? Would your name be honored and glorified in this place as we worship you? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.